You can put your Bibles away. I know, gasp. No Bibles today. I put all the verses on the screen, so you'll be able to look at it there. There's a lot of verses, so I feel like if we're flipping back and forth, it might be distracting. I promise I didn't cheat. You can fact check me afterwards if you want to fact check my verses. I'll give you the slides. All right. Welcome in, everybody. My name is Alex. I am not a pastor here. I am filling in for Brandon, giving him a little bit of a break. We're in a series over the summer on church unity, and this is the second part of a two-part teaching on spiritual gifts. So, if you're new with us, welcome. Let me pray, and we'll get started. Lord Jesus, we ask for your mercy and your power today. Lord, I pray you'd just empower me through your Spirit to speak your words, Lord God. Teach your people, Lord God. I pray you'd give us ears to hear, Lord God. I pray that, Lord, I pray you'd fill this church afresh with the Holy Spirit, Lord God. That your power would live in us to build one another up into the fullness of Christ, Lord God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's see here. All right, let's do a quick recap of what we covered last week. We went through Ephesians 4, first half. The first half of Ephesians is all about unity in the body of Christ. This is my one-sentence summary of the first part. God wants to build us up together as one united body in Christ. That's his goal. Here's from Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There's a way in which us being one body in Christ is God's goal. Sometimes we can fall into thinking that my individual relationship with God is the most important thing. My personal individual relationship with God is what God wants, and the church is here to serve me in my individual personal relationship with God. The church is there to build me up, and if they're not doing that, I'm out. I'm leaving, right? But the reality is, it's the other way around. God wants us to build up the body into Christ. God wants us to be doing our work, playing our part, to build one another up into Christ, and we can't do that alone. We need to be in the body. Christ's body is built up through the gifts of the Spirit. I'm struck by this over and over again in Ephesians 4, in Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 12. Whenever the Bible talks about us being one body in Christ, it immediately afterwards talks about spiritual gifts, right? Like we just talked about, Ephesians 4:11. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to build up the body, right? The gifts. Again, in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We are built up as each part does its work. Same thing in Romans 12, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That sounds a lot like Ephesians, doesn't it? One body. What are we going to talk about next? We all have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy according to your faith, serving, serve, and it goes on to give a list of gifts. So the point here, the way we are built up into Christ is through the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to work in each one of us as we do our work to build one another up into Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, you guys all know it. It's the same thing, right? It talks about the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The foot can't say, because I'm different than the other parts of the body, I'm not a part of the body, right? That part begins and ends with a list of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts is the means by which God wants to build up his body into Christ. I gave a little bit of a warning last week. I think we can fall into this mentality sometime of every part does everything. Every part just does whatever is needed, right? I gave the analogy of an orchestra. Imagine an orchestra where every instrument is playing somebody else's part. How's that going to sound? I gave an analogy of, like, imagine spending a day walk on your knees and grab things with your elbows. Wouldn't that be frustrating, right? We don't want to live in a body where every part just does whatever is needed at the moment. We want to move towards doing our part, playing our part well to build up the body of Christ. Each part does its work. All right, recap over. Before I start talking about spiritual gifts, I just want to acknowledge it's a touchy topic sometimes. It can cause fears and worries. I think the biggest fear is just fear of abuse. There's been a lot of abuses of spiritual gifts. We all know about them. We've seen it. It can lead to all kinds of... spiritual gifts get used in crazy and chaotic ways, ways to bring glory and attention to humans rather than to God. We all know this. But I just want to urge us, don't let the abuses cause us to reject or despise the gift of God. Don't let the abuses turn us off towards the gift of God. It is a great gift. He wants to bless and build up the church through this gift. I think that's the key to preventing a lot of these abuses, is just seeing the purpose of spiritual gifts. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to build one another up into Christ. It is not to glorify myself, and it is not to, you know, try and get some awesome new experience with God, right? The goal is not me, the goal is others. I think sometimes we're afraid even of the Holy Spirit himself. Sometimes we're afraid of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to follow his lead. We want to stay in control of our lives. I just want to remind us today, the Holy Spirit is gentle. He is good. We don't need to be afraid of him. He has the same gentleness of Christ, right? He wants to lead us into good, not into craziness and chaos. We don't need to be afraid of him. Just a couple warnings of where we can be at as a church. Spiritual gifts can be neglected, right? Do not neglect your gifts, Paul, Timothy. Do not quench the Spirit in the context of spiritual gifts, 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. We can be ignorant about spiritual gifts, right? We don't want to be there. We don't want to be ignorant and neglecting spiritual gifts. We want them to have their proper place in the church of building one another up into Christ. And finally, the opposite of neglecting gifts, spiritual gifts can be desired and received. Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts, 1 Corinthians 12. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Paul says it twice in 1 Corinthians. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy and the body of elders laid their hands on you. This is crazy. Timothy received his gift. Right? Do you catch that? He received a gift. Gifts can be given. God can give us gifts. We can receive them. What does it mean to desire gifts but to pray for them that we might receive them? That's the only application I can think of there. They can be received. We should be expectant and ask God. All right, showed this quick table last time. Found this online. This is the four lists of spiritual gifts in the New Testament, and you can kind of see there's some overlap. It's a long list, so my goal today is to get through each of them and just do a flyby, a quick bullet point in each of them, and say what I think it means and how I think we can use it to build up the body. I think something to note here, we notice that there's a general order to the gifts, and says there are greater gifts. Some of the gifts are greater. We should desire the greater gifts, Paul tells us, right? That shouldn't make us feel bad. I think that's just obvious how a body works, right? My liver is more important than my hand, right? Another note on this, I'm not the final word on what these gifts mean. I'm really not. There's not a definition of the gifts in each of these lists. It doesn't define the technical meaning of what it is and how it works. I'm going to try and give my best interpretation. I strongly suspect some of you who actually have these gifts probably have deeper insights into how that gift works than I do. So I encourage you to talk amongst each other. The last thing, I encourage you to take notes during this time. The exercise, if you're a note taker, the exercise I had in mind was, as I go through each of the gifts and name them, if someone comes to mind in our church that you think, I think that person has this gift, just write it down. Or if you think you yourself have that gift, just write it down. I wonder if we could come to some kind of agreement on who we think has what gift. That would be interesting to me. All right, let's get started. Marathon. Here we go. 18 gifts. Oh boy. Apostleship, one who is sent. We know that there were 12 apostles, right? These guys were the unique eyewitnesses of Christ's ministry on earth. They had unique authority. There are no more of those, right? But the word apostle in the Greek just means sent one who is sent, right? Paul uses that term about some of the emissaries that he sends to the churches, right? He'll call like Barnabas a sent one, an apostle. So apostle just means a sent one. It's the gift to be like a missionary or an ambassador. And this gift is listed first. And I think the reason is it's just one of the most important, maybe the most important. Because without someone being sent, how can the church spread? It's such an amazing gift. We should be praying for it. We should be, you know, praying for and encouraging those who are actually sent out. Eddie, I think of Eddie and Lynn and Philip. Jen, amazing, amazing gift to the church. So needed. Prophecy. Speaking God's words to another. I think this just means very simply that the Spirit puts something on our hearts that he wants us to share with someone else. That's what prophecy means. I've personally been blessed by this gift. I've had people come up to me and say, hey, Alex, just felt like the Lord put this on my heart to tell you. I'm sure a lot of us have experienced that where someone just comes up and says something and you just know it's from God. It's exactly what you needed to hear at the moment. Hopefully we've experienced that. I think that's the gift of prophecy, and it's something the Lord still does today. I just want to encourage us to believe that. The Lord is speaking through each other. He wants to encourage and build up one another through this gift. The Lord still speaks. I want to acknowledge just briefly, I know this, the word prophecy can be intimidating or make some people nervous. We think of some of the abuses, again, like Muhammad, Joseph Smith, right? They called themselves prophets and did horrible, horrible things in the name of God, right? I think those things don't need to make us afraid. The scriptures have safeguards that God has put in place that can protect us from some of these abuses. I think one of the first ones is just, we shouldn't regard prophecy as infallible, right? Hopefully that's obvious. We shouldn't regard anything other than scripture as infallible, right? We have an example of this in Acts, actually. There's a prophet called Agabus. Agabus, fun name. We see him working in Acts. He's a real prophet. He predicts things and they actually happen. But there's one here where he actually gets it wrong. So I don't know if you remember this. He takes his belt, he ties Paul's hands and says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind you and hand you over to the Gentiles. If you remember that. But it actually doesn't happen quite that way. So what ends up happening is the Jews are trying to kill Paul and then the Romans ride in and rescue him out. Right? So it's almost like Agabus got the gist of it, but the details were wrong. Does that make sense? So I think this gives us an indication that the gift of prophecy is not infallible in the New Testament. We shouldn't regard it as infallible. Prophets can get it wrong. I think this verse here is an amazing guide for how we should think about prophecy. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5. So note what it says there, right? Don't quench the Spirit. What's an example of quenching the Spirit? Despising prophecies. Why would we despise prophecy? Why would we be tempted to despise prophecies? Because the prophets can get it wrong, can't they? Right? Wouldn't it be tempting to go, Agabus, you got that last one wrong, so now nothing you say is from God. Right? Don't do that. Don't despise prophecies. But what? Do I just accept everything I hear and swallow it whole? Right? No. test all things. Test them all, right? Hold on to the good, reject every kind of evil. Test all things, right, against scripture and community, all that good stuff. We all know it. I think this gift can be an amazing blessing to the church. It's not meant to be something that's manipulative or used to control people. This is meant to be an encouragement and a blessing to the church. I just want to encourage those, if you think you have this gift, if you feel sometimes like the Lord just impresses something on your heart that he wants you to tell someone else, I'd encourage you, just speak up. Say it. Be bold. It's okay to get it wrong. That's why we test all things, right? Just whether it's, you know, a warning or an encouragement, going up to another and saying, hey, sister in Christ, I really feel like the Lord just put this on my heart to tell you, to encourage you in this, or to warn you about this sin. I think that could be an amazing blessing for the church. Be bold and speak up. I always think about Ezekiel 2 when I think about this gift, right? God says to Ezekiel, son of man, speak to the people. Tell my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, right? It's not up to you whether the person listens. Just up to us to speak. Evangelists, evangelism. An amazing gift, bringing the gospel to the lost. This is how the body grows. Such an amazing gift. I envy this gift. I don't think I have it. Maybe I do, but it's just such an important gift, a heart for the lost. I know that some among you just have such a heart for the lost. I want to remind us quickly, it doesn't mean pushing someone over that line, right? If you imagine the person that's farthest from God and the person closest to God, it's just bringing them one step closer, right? It doesn't have to be pushing them over the line and getting them saved. Just sharing something with a lost person that helps them understand a little bit more. Just want to say to those of you who are evangelists, the body needs you. Don't give up. Keep going. You're so important. You're how the body grows. Discerning of spirits, recognizing the realities of the spiritual world. Just want to remind us, we live in a spiritual world. Angels and demons are real, and they're actively involved in our world. Here are some examples. Demons cause physical ailments. Matthew 12, Matthew 7, that's demons causing seizures, blindness, muteness. Preventing missionary work, 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul says that Satan prevented him from coming to the Thessalonian church. Delaying answered prayer, this is a crazy one. Remember in Daniel 10, you guys know it, the demonic ruler of Persia delays an angel from answering Daniel's prayer. Wild. Finally, giving rise to false teaching. 1 Timothy 4 says that false teachers are actually teaching things taught by demons. This is the gift of being able to discern and recognize when something is demonic. Recognize situations where Satan is at work against us and to be able to see that and call that out. I think about there's a demoniac girl in Acts. Acts has seen that the apostles are proclaiming the gospel, and this girl starts following them and shouting, "These men are telling you the way to be saved," which was true. Right? But they just had the discernment to recognize, oh, that's demonic. That girl has a demon, and they cast it out. Think about Jesus is discerning the cause of diseases. Look through the Gospels. How many diseases are caused by demons? So many, over and over and over again. Jesus just has the discernment to recognize which ones are caused by demons. And then I just want to mention this briefly. I really think Satan counterfeits the gifts. Just like there are gifts of the Spirit, Satan counterfeits them. There are false prophets. There are false teachers teaching things by demons. In Revelation, we see there's false miracles leading people astray. Satan, whatever is good in the world, Satan's going to find some way to corrupt and twist and counterfeit it. So to you who have this gift, to recognize and discern the spiritual world, I just want to tell you that you are the eyes of our church. You see things that the rest of us don't. We need you. And we need you to speak up and call it out. Call it out when you see it. Hey, I think this situation over here, I think this thing that's happening, I think that's demonic. I think that's from the evil one. We need to be praying. We need to be commanding the evil one to leave. We need to be putting on the armor of God, right? Shepherding. bringing guidance to those in difficult circumstances, supporting, guiding, leading people through difficulty. I just want to encourage us. This is a gift that anybody can have. This is not just for pastors. I know the word shepherd sometimes gets translated pastor, but this is one everyone can have. Brandon and Owen need help doing this, right? They can't do this alone. I know some of you that I think have this gift that just come alongside people and shepherd and guide them. This is a gift, not necessarily a role you need to be assigned. This is an amazing gift. The body needs you. All right, teaching. Bringing greater understanding of truth. I think we're very familiar with this gift, right? We see this one up here every week. We have teaching. I just want to remind us a couple of things. This is not the most important gift. Even though it can get front and center at church, it's not the most important gift. It doesn't get listed first. We shouldn't glorify it above all the other gifts, right? And I just want to mention what teaching is not. Teaching is not just standing up here, right, and talking about Bible, right? Just like a math teacher's job is not to stand up in front of the classroom and just talk about math. Math, right? That's not helping anyone. Rather, the teacher's job is first and foremost to just recognize where the gaps in understanding are. What are people missing? What are people not seeing? And how can I explain it in a way that people can understand? I think if you have the gift of teaching, you just have this sense of what people are missing in their understanding. And you're thinking about ways to bring people into a deeper understanding of that truth. So if that sounds like you, if you feel that, maybe you have the gift of teaching. Words of wisdom. I'm not sure exactly what this means, but I think this just means that some people have supernatural wisdom from the Spirit. Think of Daniel and Solomon, who are just wise beyond their years. They're given this gift to just understand things. I think someone who has this gift is someone that you're going to go to for advice. Someone people go to for advice, right? Someone that you just recognize they have a deep, deep wisdom. They have a deep understanding of complex situations, and they know how to guide and lead people. If you have this gift, if you feel like that's you, I just want to encourage you, speak up. If you see a situation where people seem to be missing something, they need wisdom, they need guidance, speak up, say something. We need you. We need you in the body. Words of knowledge. I think this is supernatural insight and knowledge from the Holy Spirit. As I read in Scripture, it seems to me closely related to prophecy. I think of instances where people had just a supernatural knowledge of things that they shouldn't have been able to humanly know. Think of Jesus and the woman at the well. Remember what he said to her? He said, "You have had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband," right? And what did she say afterwards? She said, "Ah, I see that you're a prophet." Right? She just recognized that was a gift he had. Here's some 1 Corinthians 4:24. I think this is so interesting. If an unbeliever or inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and brought under judgment by all, and the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, "God is really among you." Isn't that kind of like what the woman at the well, her experience was? This is an amazing gift, and I've had people come up, strangers, and pray for me and tell me things that they had no way of knowing. I think this gift is real. We shouldn't doubt that God can do this. I think it would be amazing to see in our church. I mean, imagine just like some new person comes in and one of us just goes up to them and says, "Hey, nice to meet you. You're new here. Welcome. This is a random question, but have you had an abortion recently? How did you know? You know, God knows all our sin, but God wants to forgive you and welcome you into his family. God is really among you." Wouldn't that be amazing? I think this is an amazing gift. We should be praying for it. I think it would be an amazing gift. God gives supernatural insight. Encouragement, exhortation. Spurring others on to love and good deeds. Encouraging the fearful, strengthening the weary. I know so many of us are afraid to step into big things. There's things we want to do, we know we should be doing, But we need that push. We need that encouragement from you guys, the encouragers. We need exhortation. Some of us are like engaged in things that are really hard and we're giving up. We want to just be done. We want to just be over with it. You guys are there to strengthen the weary and pick us up and tell us, keep going. This is your gift. Just pray that the Lord would point out to you those who need encouragement. Go encourage them. Go give them strength. Working miracles. You know, I know this is not one we see a lot, but we should just take God at his word here. He says this is a gift. We should be praying for this gift. And I wonder if maybe we don't see it because we haven't been praying for it. God can still do miracles today. I know some among us have seen amazing miracles. It's still possible. Similar thing here, gifts of healing. I know it can sometimes be hard to believe that this happens, but I know some among us have seen supernatural healing. I know this can still happen today. God tells us that this is a gift, I think, that some people have especially. Some people are just particularly effective at praying for and seeing God heal people. This is an amazing gift. I just think of Christ, how Christ came to heal. This is Christ's healing hands, right? Christ's healing hands over the church. He still wants to do that today through you guys. Service. Man, this is an amazing gift. I just see this at work so much in our church. Just look around. Look at all the volunteer things people do, even right now. Our volunteers working hard, serving God with our labor, serving God with our hands. I just want to encourage you guys, serve with the strength the Lord provides. Don't do it on your own strength. Don't do it by yourself. You're going to get burned out and weary. Serve with the strength the Lord provides. Ask the Lord for strength. Your work blesses us so much. I see this every Sunday and throughout the week. Thank you guys so much for all you do to serve us. Leading administration, bringing order to God's kingdom. I just think of, man, God is God of order. God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, right? God wants things to be organized, things to be structured. He gives you guys that brain that can just see how things need to be. We need you guys. I'm a very disorderly person. You guys are so needed in the body. I just want to encourage you guys. Your temptation is going to be to just sit back and judge all us chaotic people, okay? Don't do that. When you see a situation that needs administration, needs leadership, step in and offer your services. Hey, I can help. I can help organize this. I can help structure this. You guys are such a blessing. We need you. Speak up. Speak up and offer your service. Various kinds of tongues. This is just the ability to praise God in the languages of men and angels, as it says in Scripture. As you all know, we've seen a ton of abuses with this gift, very sadly, right? This gift has been used in chaotic and just very abusive ways, people saying that you need to speak in tongues in order to even be saved, things like this. I just want to encourage this again. We shouldn't let the abuses make us reject or despise God's gift. This is meant to be a beautiful gift. It's meant to be a picture of heavenly worship, right? Where we will worship God with all the saints from every language and with the angels, and we'll be praising him there. I think this is meant to be an amazing gift, be a blessing to us all. Interpreting tongues, right? We're told that the gift of tongues by itself can't edify the church. It's a tag team gift. The Lord wants to work together with others to interpret and give intelligibility to this gift. I think of it's similar to dreams and interpretation in the Bible. There seems to be some people who have dreams and some people who have the ability to interpret. It's like this tag team, like the Holy Spirit loves working together with others. Amazing and beautiful gift. Giving. This is actually new for me as I studied this. I didn't realize giving is a gift. Giving is a gift. That's so cool. Some people have just this gift of supernatural generosity. Supernatural generosity. My encouragement to you, if you have this gift, give generously and cheerfully, right? Those are Scripture's commands for you. Give generously and cheerfully without finding fault, like God does. Faith. supernatural trust in God for the impossible. I just think of George Mueller here. Some of you guys know his story. He ran an orphanage on faith alone. He served tens of thousands of orphans over the course of his life. He never asked for donations, not once. He just prayed and the Lord brought what he needed. He just had this supernatural faith. I see that in some of you guys. I know some of you guys are bold and have this desire to just pray for big things and impossible things. I want to encourage you guys, not only do you do that, you also encourage the rest of us to greater faith by doing that. Be public. Be public in what you're praying for. Tell people what you're praying for, the big things that you're praying for, because that can encourage the rest of us and strengthen us in our faith. Finally, mercy, showing Christ's compassion to the broken. I just think of Christ who embraced the lepers, right? Who embraced the prostitutes and the sinners. This gift is a picture of Christ's compassion for the broken. God loves the broken. He wants to show them mercy, and he wants to do it through you, those who have the gift of mercy. Just want to encourage you guys, do it cheerfully. That's God's command. Don't be begrudging when you show compassion on others. Don't start to, don't just start to begrudge it. Do it with cheer. All right, we made it. Whew, marathon. Whew, a lot of gifts. How you guys doing? That was a speed run for me. All right, I want to talk about two things here. I want to talk about initiating with our gifts and relying on the gifts of others. I think these are just practical ways that we as a church can start implementing the gifts in our daily lives. So this passage in 1 Peter... Peter basically breaks all the gifts into two groups. There's speaking gifts and there's serving gifts. Fun exercise for later if you want to go through the gifts and try and break them up. It's a fun little thing. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. I just want to encourage you guys, we need to be bold as we use these gifts. You know, when it says there, right, speak as the one speaking the very words of God. God wants to bring, the Holy Spirit wants to bring our church wisdom and teaching and, you know, knowledge. The Holy Spirit wants to bring those things through you, through the parts of the body. And he's waiting for us to be willing to speak up boldly. I think our fear can sometimes get in the way. Our fear can get in the way of blessing the rest of the church. Service. God wants to serve. God wants you to serve with God's strength. When God's calling you to serve, just ask him for the strength and he'll provide it. As we're in our quiet times, as we're reading the Bible, as we're praying, sometimes we can be looking to God. You know, we're looking to God for strength. We're looking to God for wisdom and compassion and guidance and all these things, and that's good. But I wonder if sometimes that what God wants to communicate to us is, hey, go. Go speak this to someone. Go serve this person. God is calling us outward to love the body. We need to be sensitive to that as we are with the Lord. He is leading us in these things. We need to follow his leading. Relying on others' gifts. Man, I just want to cast a vision for how this could look in our church. I'm excited for this possibility that, imagine that I just have a friend. My friend's going through something really hard. My brother, sister in Christ. But I don't really have the gift of compassion. So you know what I'm going to do? Instead of just going myself, I'm going to go find Scott Gotti. You have the gift of compassion. Come with me. And let's minister to our friend together, right? Or imagine, I've got a coworker, right? Seems interested in the gospel, maybe interested in Christ. We've had a few conversations, but I just don't have the gift of evangelism. You know what I'm going to do? You know who does? Mike. Mike has the gift of evangelism. Hey, coworker, come meet my friend Mike. Let's hang out together, right? Or somebody's in a really difficult situation. It's really tricky. They need wisdom. They need shepherding. Instead of going in alone and trying to bring those things myself, I can bring in someone else who has those gifts. Do you guys see that? See how we can rely on one another, rely on the gifts to strengthen and build up the church? That's the vision I want to cast. I think there's two barriers to this that we can fall into: self-reliance and pastor reliance, right? So self-reliance, I just remembered this. There's this parable, I think it's from the old Ten Commandments movie. So it goes like this. There's a villager, he's at his house, and a flood's coming. The waters are rising, right? And a caravan comes by, and they say, come on with us. The flood's rising. And he says, no, God will save me. Right? And then the waters keep rising, and they're up to his knees, and a camel comes by. And the man on the camel says, jump on, the flood's coming, flood's rising. And he says, no, God will save me. Finally, the flood keeps rising and rising, and now the man is sitting on his roof. A man in a boat comes by and says, jump on, the flood's rising. He says, no, God will save me. Then at last, the flood rises, the man dies. He goes to be with God, and he says to God, God, why didn't you save me? And God says, I sent the caravan and the camel and the boat. Why didn't you accept my help? Right? So a silly story, but I think we get the, do you get the idea that sometimes this attitude of like, God will save me, is actually just a disguise for self-reliance? Can we see that? I think I fall into this. I do this, right? I need wisdom. I need mercy. I need compassion. What do? Man, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. Receive those things. And that's good, right? But what happens when that doesn't work? Oh man, I'm going to pray harder. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to fast, right? All this stuff. And sometimes I just wonder if God's telling us, hey, I've provided in my body. Go to my body to receive what you need. And we're insistent on this kind of like self-reliance that we're disguising as, oh, God will save me kind of a thing. And there's pastor reliance. I'm guilty of this one too, right? I need wisdom. What do? Brandon. You know, I need encouragement. Brandon. Poor Brandon, right? Brandon is one guy, right? Brandon is not the whole body. Brandon cannot be all the gifts. He cannot be the whole body. We need to be relying on one another, right? It cannot be that, you know, me and my Bible is option one, and if that doesn't work, Brandon is option two. That's not a healthy body. A healthy body is one where we're relying on one another and the giftings. Oh. Application. All right. Made it. I just want to give a brief side point. I have a little bit of time. On where should we be applying these gifts? In case anyone's thinking, you know, next week we need to have people speaking in tongues and prophesying from stage, you know. It's not what we need, right? I think we just need to use the gifts in a way that's not going to be a stumbling block to people. That's not going to be a barrier to people coming to Christ, right? Especially the gift of speaking in tongues. I mean, in our cultural context, it's been so abused. It can really turn people off. We don't want to put stumbling blocks to people, right? We want the gifts to be working and building up the body, but they don't necessarily need to have like front and center stage here. They don't need to be in people's faces. We can be using these quietly to serve one another and not drawing attention to ourselves, right? So that's just a side point. All right. Three applications. Pray for the gifts, know your gifts, have a practical plan. Pray for the gifts. Pray for the gifts. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy, right? We need to be desiring the gifts. Owen once said something to me. I think we were reading Weep with Those Who Weep. And I think he said, you know, I think that's the most disobeyed commandment in the New Testament. I was like, wow, thank you for saying that, Owen. I that always stuck with me. But if I could, humbly church, if I could just add to that list, I just wonder, is this the most disobeyed commandment in the New Testament for us? Do we desire spiritual gifts? Do we think about them ever? Do we pray for them? Do we pray that the church might have them, right? If I may be bold with you, right? These are commands from Almighty God. These are commands from Almighty God. We need to be obeying them. They're not optional, right? Desire the greater gifts. Desire the gifts. Know your gifts. Here's Romans 12 again. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it's leading, do it diligently. If it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. How can we obey this? How can we obey this if we don't know what our gifts are? How can we be relying on one another's gifts if we don't know what other people's gifts are? Right? We need to know what our gifts are. Okay, do that. I was thinking about my time in college. Me and some friends, we were obsessed with this personality test. We would talk about it all the time, think about it all the time, take different tests, argue about who is what personality type. By the end, after way too much time wasted, we had figured it all out. Who is what personality type, all this, right? Imagine if we had done that with the spiritual gifts, right? Imagine if we had spent time thinking about and talking about and arguing about and, you know, we figure out what our gifts are as we move towards them, as we talk about them with others, as we think about them, as we pray about them, as we try exercising them and say, is this in what I'm gifted in, right? There's no magic formula. There's no magic test. But the way to not know what your gifts are is to never talk about them, never think about them, never try exercising them. That's how we're going to stay stuck in being ignorant about the gifts and neglecting the gifts. Have a practical plan to exercise your gifts, right? The body is built up as each part does its work. As each part does its work. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is on you through the laying on by hands to Timothy. Right? Man, my vision is that we'd know what our part is. We'd know what our part is and have a practical plan to serve the church through that gift. Imagine if we could all come in and just say, man, I know my gift is encouragement. I'm going to find someone to encourage every week. Wouldn't that be amazing if we just knew what our gift was and knew how to use it? My gift is, I don't know, serving. I'm going to find a way to serve each week. This is my vision for us. Just want to remind us, back to the analogy of the body. We are one body in Christ. Christ is the head, right? Gave this analogy last week. My body serves my head. My body serves my mind, right? It does what I want. The parts do what I want. But they don't do that just by being directly connected to my head. That wouldn't be a body. They're connected to each other. And they're each doing their parts. They're each playing their distinct roles. That's how we're supposed to serve Christ. By playing our part and serving each other and building each other up into Christ. That's what God wants. He wants one united body that's building each other into him. I just want to encourage us. I think this is possible. I think this is possible for us to recognize and see what each other's gifts are and really be relying on the body to build us up into Christ. With that, I'll close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray for the spiritual gifts. I pray you'd bless this church with the gifts of the Spirit, that the body might be built up into the full measure of Christ. That is our desire. That is our goal. May the gifts not be used, Lord, just for selfish means to glorify ourselves, but to glorify you and to build one another up, Lord God. I pray that you reveal to us how to practically use the gifts in the church, what our gifts are, how we can be serving others with them. We ask you, Lord, that you just bless this church, bless Desert's End with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might be equipped for works of service, Lord God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.